Yeah, well, I left school at 40. I left school in 46. And there were four lads at home, and obviously we all couldn't stay at home. And I went working on a big farm locally. And this farmer had two sons, one a bit older than me, one younger. We timed for 72, and we milked about 76, because behind each door there was a cow tied on the footpath. Do you remember when they used to do that, you know, when they were short of stalls?
That was a big milking herd in those days.
Oh, it was.
Very big.
Yeah, it was. And we used to milk with 8 units, you know, and I didn't do a lot of milking because I was busy mixing corn and feeding and cleaning out all the time. But in those days, I know we got up to 24 cans a day, you know, which was a hell of a lot.
What, 12 gallons?
And 10 galloners.
10?
Yeah. And the chap, we had Ayrshire, and he used to go to Ayr Market about twice in the back end and buy a load of cattle. There was Mr. Lummis, and he had a brother that farmed at Modley Farm here, and they both used to go up to Ayr. They used to drive to Manchester, leave the car in Manchester, go on the train up to Ayr, have the breakfast in Railway Hotel in Ayr, and then buy a load of cattle, and they'd come down in the night, you know.
The cars come down on the train?
No, they come down in a cattle lorry. Yeah, he'd turn up about 3 o'clock in the morning with them, you know, something like that. I started when I was 16, and because we grew a lot of green crop as well, you know, cabbages and potatoes and kale and all sorts.
So you had to cut that and cart it in?
Oh, all labour intensive, yeah. We used to cut kale with a binder and feed it through a chopper into a big wooden silo. You know, that was bloody work, you know.
But I mean, a lot of kale was cut by hand, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yeah. We cut kale by hand. I mean, I did. Because there was that meristem kale, you know, the stem is as thick as your wrist, and there's very leafy stuff. And of course, you could cut the leafy stuff with a binder, you know. Yeah, we cut, you know, we grew acres of mangles at this farm, you know, because they all had to be harvested by hand. And then, you know, winter time, they had to be chopped and mixed with corn. And
did you grow cow cabbage?
Yes, well, a lot of cabbage. We put, I think, 21,000 in one year. There used to be a fella stood in Bakewell Market from Stone in Staffordshire. A certain time of the year, he'd be, lorry be there, and he was in bundles of 200. And we used to take them home and chuck them in a dolly tub or a bath because they were dried out, you know. And then we used to set them planting them in twos. One of them had a shovel, dug it in, and sort of just pried a bit of hole behind it, and you pop the in and stamp your foot on it.
Done a bit of that.
You've done a bit of that, have you? Yeah. You know, and then all wanted cutting and carting, you know, in the winter time.
So when you fed them to the cows, did you just chuck them a whole cabbage? Or?
Oh, yeah, with two or three and a fork and go between them, you know, and drop them in front of the cows. And they rolled them round a bit, a lot of them, you know, but they cleaned them up.
They got a good range of plant material then, haven't they?
Oh, they had. You know, the mangles and turnips, because they didn't use them at the same time, you know, they used the mangles and the turnips. They were, like, covered up for the winter, you know, we had to go and uncover them every day. Yeah, when the cabbage was done, you know, we said we had to change. We used to go down to, we used to have trucks of beet pulp come into Shawker Sidings. You know, we used to have to cart that home.
Did you say beet?
Beet pulp.
Beet pulp.
Yeah, right. After they got the sugar out, it came from the factory in trucks.
So that come up you from came the up, south?
Yeah, it come up from Bury St Edmund and places like that. And there'd be nearly a train load, you know. I mean, you could go there and there'd be about 6 farmers carting it, you know, they'd be in a train load. And this boss, we used to have about 3 truckloads at a time, you know, 60 ton. And we had 3 tractors and trailers and carted and chucked it into us. We had some of them concrete silos. Do you remember those round concrete ones with the bars round? We had some of them and we used to chuck it into them, you know. And then
chuck it off the railway carriage by hand.
Oh, we did, oh, yeah.
And then when you get home,
that's it.
And off again.
Yeah, we used to put greedy boards round to make it carry more, you know. And
so which station were they coming into then?
Well, there was a railway station yard. This is where the bridge here, just the other side of the traffic lights. Because a big gas works there and a lot of stuff used to come to the gas works. And a lot of the local coal merchants used to come in there as well.
So how many people were working on the farm at that time with this herd of
Well, there was a boss, Mr. Lummis, and Walter and Dennis, his two sons, and myself. And then we used to have a fella come about four hours a day. They worked in the bleach works on 8-hour shifts. And they used to come and do 4 hours. There's quite a few of them used to come. You know, one came at a time, you know, and then he dropped off, and then another one came. And the Brownlee started coming haymaking, really, but they used to, you know, muck in, you know, because there were always a lot of mowing and muck spreading to do, and, you know, there were plenty of work. It was all, you know, wheelbarrow work. A lot of it was in them days.
Did you have to do much, like where you took the muck out into the fields and pulled it off in rucks?
We didn't put much out there. We did it at home, but not there. He had about one of the first muck spreaders. And I know I did. The first lot I ever did was it broke. And I thought, oh, these are some bloody use, you know. I had to clean it because muck spreaders are one of them things. You only break down full of muck, you know. Oh. So I had to fork it all out and find a chain link. But after saying that, I spread thousands of tons after, you know. But the trouble was we used a lot of bedding, a lot of straw. When you used to set off, you used to overload the spread, obviously, and you set off a big heap would fall out, and we had to have days where we used to go muck knocking, you know, spreading it out and levelling these bits of muck heaps out and that.
How many months were the cows, were they kept in?
Oh, they were kept in, yeah.
How,
oh, yes.
How many months
would
you say?
They always used to say a 200-day winter. Anything less than that, you know, it was like a bonus. They recognised turning out time of 12th of May. And I remember it because it was the day my brother got killed in an accident, 12th of May. But it suddenly started growing forward, you know, was fertiliser and that. My younger brother found at Bosley, you know, about 16th of April, he could turn them out down there, you know. And like every day, it's a bonus if you can get them outside. Yeah, I stayed there. The thing about when I went working there, I was amazed how little I knew about farming. You know, I never sort of questioned anything my dad did because I thought that was it and it was only that way. And then I went there and you know, they did things totally different. You know, why have they done that, you know? And then you realise there's more than one way of doing a job and, yeah.
What would you say your dad did that was so different that you
could Well, we were milking by hand at that stage. We didn't have a milking machine. Well, we didn't have electric until 47. And then we had electric in at home like then. Because we had a big milk round, you see, at home. I don't know, really. We're different things, because we reared a lot of stock. We had a lot of hens at home, and of course there weren't many of them there. And I didn't do a lot of milking. I was always cleaning out and mixing corn and getting... You see, hay was loose in them days, and, you know, a great big barn full of hay, and I had to grab a hay knife and go and cut a big lump out and carry it up all the fodder bins, you know, ready for night, and... So much straw, because we do quite a good fair lot of grain, you know, thrashed a fair lot, and they fed a lot of straw in them days. It were all jolly hard work, you know.
Some people have said to me they used to feed a whole sheaf.
Oh, yeah, some of them did, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Surely the grain is the just
grain
go
goes straight through
them.
Oh, yeah, it goes straight through them, yeah.
Waste of time.
Oh, yeah. You could tell by the muck spreaders, you know, you could see the birds following the muck spreaders, you know. Because it was full of grain. Yeah, it had not been any good.
Right.
But we used to take grain down to the corn mill and they have it rolled or ground, depending what we wanted it for, you know. Very often with the horses. I mean, the farm, this Lummis's farm, when I went, there were 16 horses.
16?
All working?
Well, different, yeah. I wouldn't say they were all working, but a lot of them were, you know, and they never seemed to get rid of any. And one of the first jobs I had was burning all this harness. We started, had a tractor, a standard force, and this tractor shed was harness hung on three walls. And the boss said to me one day, he said, just get rid of that lot, will you? And because you're full of grease and oil. And
He did say,
you know, keep a pair of aims and a collar and a pair of plough pads and a pair of carp, you know, find the best ones of them.
When you went there, did you do much horse farming?
No, I didn't. No, they had a standard force and tractor, and then they had set up and Begmaid in 47 when I were there. And then they had a little Ferguson after as well while I were there.
But at home you'd had horses?
I had a horse at home, yes. I used to live in Milton with a pony and float, you know, and we had one more horse. Originally, years ago, like, my father used to hire horse and cart out to the county council. He employed a fellow that did nothing else. He used to come at 8 o'clock, take his horse out, gone all day, and then if my father wanted to use the horse, he had to use it after 5 o'clock, you know. I worked at Lummis's, I was there about 2 or 3 years.
So,
well, I was there till I was 20. You know? Mm.
So what would happen then to the milk from there?
Well, the milk from there, it went and churned down to Stockport Co-op.
What, collected on a lorry?
Collected on a lorry, yes.
Mm. At the end of the farm drive?
No, it came in the yard.
Came
yes,
the
because we had a churn stand in the yard. But, yeah, they used to come and feeders used to pick it up from Ashburn,
Ashford,
that's right. Ron Parks, it was called, the lad used to come and they used to pick it up. But they went mostly to Stockport Co-op and then they started sending it to Express Dairy at Withenshaw. They had a big place. And the biggest problem with the churn job when I was at Lummis was short measures. Oh, God, it was horrible.
What were short measures?
Well, the churn, you see, you only had a mark in.
Yeah.
It wasn't really, you know, accurate. And, of course, anybody that filled a churn full of warm milk go back later and it could be down that much.
Right.
You know, same as us sending 24 cans.
Mm.
You know, when they come to tip it and they weigh it properly when they tip it, there's just no coloration, you know.
Mm.
And every day we used to get short measure tickets. And I know when I used to go to farmers' union meetings, it was always the main topic, you know. They used to do trial runs with them, you know, and the farmers would complain and they got down to Stockport and... And there was a bloody gallon short in the churn when it set off, you know.
But, so what would happen then if it was the short measure?
Well, they just paid you on what they received, you know. Because you couldn't really argue because it was on a weighbridge.
So that job takes you up to, you started at 16?
Yeah, I started at Lummis at 16 and, you know, we used to spread a lot of lime behind and all. We had those little, what did they call them? It was like a car axle with a disc on the top, a car back axle. Instead of the prop shaft being forward, it stuck up, and they welded a big disc on the top. Little Herberts, they used to call them, and they had a big disc on about that. And of course, we used to load the trailers up, and the one standing the trailer and chucking it on, it had a centre cone, and we tried to chuck it on the cone, and it spread it out. This was before, you know, lime spreaders came round, and we spread tons and tons of small lime. And by night we couldn't see, you know, eyes terrible, what the eldest lad and me.
And what about your breathing? Cause
well, I mean, it didn't do the breathing any good, you know, that's why I've only got 40% now. You know, it was all this dust and
do
that.
Do they think it is that?
One thing, it didn't
help,
yes.
Chaff and stuff as well.
No,
well,
that's it, it was everything. And we spread tons and tons of lime, you know, small lime.
Thrashing as well.
Oh, we did a lot of, well, I used to go around with a thrashing set.
Exactly, it's a dirty job.
Yeah, well, there was three thrashing sets that used to come around. There was Horace and Percy Joel, they were butchered off Airfield, and they got a set. And they used to bring eight land girls. There was some hostel at Chapel full of land girls, and they used to bring eight land girls with them. And then Harold Cartridge at Sparrow Pit, he had one off the ministry set. Then there was Jimmy Goddard at Bugsworth. He had a set. I spent a lot of time with him. He killed himself with a tractor, pulled it over on top of himself. He did, you know, he dies with death, always, you know, some of the daft things he did. But I spent a lot of time, and of course I always fed the drum. You know, some people used to drop them in, you know, sheaves and never cut the bands and, you know, all standard foot and track. You go, and all of a sudden, it's a pick up, we go, set off again, you know, and just pick gather itself.
So no one ever talked about wearing a mask?
Oh, he never wore a mask,
no.
I mean, when you went in the ship and there was this white thing on everything, white dust on everywhere. They used to kick muck across the bottom of the door, you know, to keep even the finger hole, you know, they put a piece of straw in the finger hole. You know, and I mean, up to our farm now, you know, and everywhere is open, you know.
It used to be lovely and warm in Shepton's,
didn't it? Oh, did I? You get your head inside of a cow milk and you could soon be asleep. Yeah, it was lovely then, days. Yeah, but wouldn't go back to him. Anyway, I started with Mr. Lummis. I had all my meals with him and everything. Now, they looked after him. Mrs. Lummis was a lady. You know, she looked after me very well, you know. I had three meals every day and, you know, she was wonderful. she just treated me like one of her own because she had two daughters and another son besides.
There were a lot of bad places,
weren't
there?
Eh?
A lot of bad places.
Oh, there were.
So, I mean, you're talking about tremendously hard work. What would the hours be if you think back now when you...
Well, I worked half seven till about half seven at night, you know.
12 hours.
Yeah, I did 6 days, and then I never worked on a Sunday. You know, the lads used to say to me at the farm, you know, they used to say, what did you do yesterday? You know, I told, because my dad had a milk round, I went on that on a Sunday, and they always had this saying, you know, 6 days shalt thou labour, and on the seventh they had jobs. And because they had three tractors, and they filled them up with fuel, and greased and oiled them, and... You know, they were never still. You know, farming was a life. They didn't know anything else, you know. And I mean, the boss, I was involved with Young Farmers, and the boss hated me going to Young Farmers. And he'd find me any job he could on that night when I was going to try and hold me back, you know.
Is this that Lomas?
Yeah.
He didn't want you getting ideas.
Well, he didn't, you know. I mean, he kept his own family. He ruled them, you know. I mean, I used to go to Young Farmers meetings and then...
But you'd got a good club at Chapel, hadn't
you? Oh, we had. Yeah, we had.
With a good lot of members.
Oh, we had a good lot of members. Well, there were nothing else. Mm. You know, and then I was going dancing, you see. And that's how I, you know, really met up with my wife. We had an Austin van to deliver milk. And people knew that if they came to Reddy's Farm at 7:30 on a Saturday night, they would get a lift to a dance. And more importantly, they'd get one home. You know, because I'm talking, you know, 47, there were no transport and that. And, of course, I started driving then. And, of course, my wife was the last one to be dropped off because she lived at Kettlesham, you see. So I was driving and that's how we really got together, you know.
If we go back, can you tell us a bit about the war, because you do contract work for them, did you?
Well, no, I didn't help the bloke. He had two tractors. He lived in Kettlesham. And because you see, I mean, Mr. Lummis was on the War Ag Committee. You know, he used to go off every day, you know, looking at farms and telling them what they should do and what they shouldn't. With a bloke called Bosworth, he was like the top man for the ministry, and a big shooting man. You know, they were shooting every day. You know, they go round and depending how many acres you had, they say, you know, you've got to plough so many acres. Well, these people had only got a horse, you know, and. Because the ministry then decided, well, somebody's got to plough this land, and they got these two. There was John and he had a brother as well, and they used to go around ploughing and doing and sowing, and I was tractor mad, you know, at that age. I was about 15, 14. I used to come home from school, jump on my bike, and I knew where they'd be working roughly. You know, you could either see him or knowing where they were, and I used to go and help them, you know, particularly cutting corn.
Obviously, through all this time, things have changed and got more and more pressured, haven't they?
Oh, yes, they were.
Getting more out of the land.
That's right,
and
yes.
All the rest of it.
Well, I mean, I worked for Mr. Lummis, the ministry used to come around giving lectures and telling you what to do and whatnot. And I went to this one at Down Hall at Chapel because he was always curious to know what had gone on, you know, although he didn't sort of agree. And we sat having breakfast next morning and what did you learn last night? You know, I said, oh, well. You know, they were talking about winter milk production then, you know, and that's when you want to get the milk, when the price is better and when it's more needed. I said, you know, going in for this winter milk production, you know, getting your cows calving August onward and that sort of thing. And he listened to me ranting on. And then all of a sudden he said, I'll tell you what, Arthur, he says, I've never known a cow calf at wrong time yet. And the other thing is, he said, don't let the others see it because they dry off. And I always remember him saying that, you know, he shot me down straight away. But the minister came round, and this particular meeting, I remember, they got all this food stuff like hay there and a bit of silage and a heap of mangels and sugar beet pulp and telling you what to feed. You see, a cow has a maintenance ration to keep it going, and it has a production ration depending on how many gallons of milk it gives. And... He was telling us, like, how much to give a cow if it gave 2 gallons, you see. And the chap at the back stands up, he says, what happens if it gives 3 gallons? Oh, he said, you have to do this, give me a bit more of that. He got up again, he said, what happens if it gives 4 gallons? And people, and he said, oh, this is, and then he got up again, he said, what happens if it gives 5 gallons? And everybody said, "Shut up, Harold, you don't have any cow, give 5 gallons a day." You know, and it wasn't heard of then.
And yet there was, even some of the short, you get a good short
horses. Oh, they could. Oh, yeah, of course they could, yeah. Yeah,
but
you know.
Obviously it wasn't commonplace.
No, it wasn't commonplace. You know, these little Irish heifers, you know, 3 gallons, you were doing well with them, you know.
So your dad let you go to work there because he thought that that was...
I went there because I had 3 brothers at home,
and there was no way...
Yeah, well, that's it, no way, you know. I mean, although they, you know, the fair milk round and end and everything, you know.
So when you moved on from there, 3 years
old... Yeah, well, I stopped there till I was 20. My brother had his fatal accident, and I had to come home then.